This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver bells ringing and winter time bringing the happiest season of all. And I wish Judy Garland would sing the chorus in her own way.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Yuletide carols being sung by a choir and folks dressed up like Eskimos.
Everybody knows
Mary. It is that season, right? Our friends who lit the menorah have come through Hanukkah as we move into Christmas and Kwanzaa and different versions of that, just weeks away, and you can feel it in the air that people are out there scurrying around to get their gifts, make their cookies, get a tree, put up some lights, or perhaps just lift their mood by looking at the bright lights in neighborhoods that are nearby that they can drive through with their hot cocoa. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Welcome to the show, whether you're a first-timer or you've been here for a very long time. We have rolled out the reddish carpet. I think it's reddish because it's got speckles of green in it. I mean, this is the virtual world, right? We invented it here on radio, painting the pictures way before we went through this pandemic. So that's what it's like. It's got some green in it and some other things because of the season. Something that's being talked about a lot is what's going on in the Ukraine. So we'll mention the latest. I was looking at some satellite images today and talking to someone who knew all things Russian, and we talked about, he's going to come on the show next week, but we talked about what the movements meant, and is the Kremlin meddling to the point of grabbing the Ukraine, and what was that call like with Joe Biden, where they were on the call for apparently several hours? What were they talking about? Biden said on Wednesday that putting additional U.S. troops on the ground in the Ukraine is not on the table. The U.S. has troops in the Ukraine for training purposes only. But he did say, he said he made it very clear that if Putin invades the Ukraine, there will be some severe consequences, he said a couple of times. Economic consequences like the ones he's never seen. Ooh, because they have definitely had sanctions. He said Putin's immediate response was he understood that. I understand what you are saying. I don't think Putin's worried. Putin said Russia would shortly send Washington its proposals spelling out the security guarantees it wants. So there is some conversation, and people are dispelling, some other world leaders are dispelling the question as to whether Russia plans to attack the Ukraine, and some think it's provocative to say that's not what's happening, that it's looking at the bases and the weapons, and that's what Russia does. Yeah, we're out there just in case, so we're showing you our might. That seems highly unlikely, right? They're fishing is what they're doing. They are fishing. How about Ukraine and the foreign minister, Yubla? who said that the talks have served to deter Russia, that this conversations, the Biden-Putin talks, is a good deterrent, right? And that is a good thing. So, I mean, there's been six clashes with separatists over the last 24 hours with anti-government fighters, with mortars and grenade launchers and large caliber machine guns and small caliber rifles. So the shelling is happening along the front lines. And there have been battles with Russia, with Russian-backed rebel forces anyway. You think about it, it's been an eight-year conflict. And there's been 14,000 people that have perished as a result of that. And remember the Crimea, and remember how that was annexed by Russia in 2014. So we'll see. It's another one of those, you got to put it in that bucket. But I think it was smart to have the conversation anyway. It seems like they're just broad strokes, and who knows what the specifics were between Putin and Biden. All right, other things that are buzzing in your backyard and mine, besides the coronavirus, because obviously that's always here and we know it. It's the great question mark that we live under. How many cases and what's happening now with Omicron, that it's formidable but not unstoppable according to some of the early studies that have come out. I mean, we're 2 years into this pandemic, and there are already conversations about, are we prepared for the next one? At some point, right, you have to just keep on living. This is what I say. Live life, or life will live you. Yeah, I know. It may be cliche-ish, but you got to tell yourself something. I mean, yes, it is more transmissible. We know that. But the cases are milder, right? So that's the good news so far about the Omicron variant. The Delta one is still the big concern and the one that's taking lives at this point. Let's put it that way, right? That's what's happening. All right, the other things that I will mention here briefly, this is worth mentioning because since we're talking about Putin and Russia and whatnot, and as an American, you look at the allies too. So Germany has a new chancellor, Olaf Scholz, and what will Scholz be like? Merkel held that spot for 16 years. So now it's a sealed deal. It just becomes official. And what's on his list of what, you know, what to do? And his list is long of getting to know some world leaders a little bit closer, but, you know, have a closer relationship now that there's a new transition. That's what mostly that's about. And Germany is in a pivotal spot when you think about that role of chancellor. And what, you know, what would be expected as you head into some interesting times for Scholz in that spot and what he would be concerned with. And, of course, a lot of what's happening in the European Union, the most populous nation and the largest economy. So with the largest economy, that certainly tells you something. Germany is combating climate change, and that's what they put high on their list, and Scholz has done that, and modernizing Germany as well. I'll meet you on the flip side.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow, and that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. So, this year, give the gift of painting. pain relief, and extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay heating pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Green Room, Lynn Talefuse, and Lynn has written a book that's pretty interesting called Arguing with the Bible. Imagine that, a book of questions. We all have questions, right? Lynn, thanks for coming on.
Sure, no problem.
So why did you write this book?
Well, at first I started gathering information for myself, and then I had so much, I said, hey, let's see if I can get this published.
All right, so you get it published, but what was it that you were gathering information on, a book of questions? What were your big burning questions?
Well, there's things that's taught in the church, but when you really start studying the Bible, there seems to be, it doesn't line up. You know, the two don't meet. And so basically, I captured a series of verses on several topics, grouped them together so I can see the big picture. And so I'm putting these questions out there so the reader himself can say, okay, what do I see? You know, everybody should evaluate their relationship with God. They should, you know, they should have a good understanding of it.
Okay, so for you, like you talk about, you go into chapter one and you have verses and you talk about, you know, Romans and John and a couple of those. And it's interesting because you talk about then the cover of Aqualung, Jethro Tull, and you say that Ian Anderson talks that man is created God in his image and saw that he was good. And you say, oddly enough, this is a true, you know, this is a true statement. And so asking questions on the street about God, you get different answers and rationales, and which is why you said you did this book. So for you, what was the biggest question? What was the one question that you really delved into in the book?
Well, okay, I had read that book, A History of God, and it talked about how they came up with the triune God and how that was basically a pagan perspective of God. And so I would read these verses where it would definitely talk about the Trinity, and it would talk, okay, God is the God of Jesus and the Father of Jesus. So that wasn't lining up. So I just captured all these verses that really talked about especially when he walked the earth after incarnation, what it really said about the relationship between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And for me, the triune God doesn't work. But so I put this together so other people could see what I'm seeing and then make a self-determination led by the Holy Spirit to come up with their understanding. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And you talk about in your life that, you know, just growing up, you went to church regularly. You went to a Lutheran church, and then you started to go to other churches to see what there was. And then you went through a period where you didn't go to church at all, and then you started going back to church again. So you've really kind of had a revolving relationship and seen what's happened in other places, right?
Well, yeah, and here's what it brought out to me. You know, when we went to church, every Sunday you would hear a different aspect of, or different part of the life of Christ. So we had a lot of knowledge, but it wasn't until years later that head knowledge became heart knowledge. And so that's a key factor. If you can pass a test on Christ, doesn't mean you're in a relationship with the Father. It has to become heart knowledge. You have to realize God is your dad, and it has to be that relationship. You should be able to say, Dad, I have an issue, or Dad, I need help, or Dad, what do you want me to do today? It should be that kind of intimate relationship with God.
Yeah. So, again, the book is called Arguing with the Bible, a Book of Questions. Lynn Talefuse, that's who we're speaking with. You can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And I think you've said it, but what do you hope people take away from reading this book where you've compiled these questions?
Well, I hope it opens the Bible up some for them. A lot of people have never actually read the Bible for themselves. I hope it compels them to go into the Bible, read it for themselves, and get their truths from the Holy Spirit. You get their relationship improved with God. I just want people to be inspired to search deeper.
I like that. Search deeper. That's always a good thing. And I know you have another book coming up called What in the World Was This Grace Thing? You're working on that, right? Because we're trying to figure out grace.
Yeah, I just sent it to the publisher, and hopefully I'm done adding to it. So I'm ready to let them have it and move forward with it.
All right, so that's something to look forward to next, talking about grace. Lynn Talefuse, thanks for joining us on the show.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me on your show.
All right, so that's interesting as he explored it from a lot of different dynamics. And as I said there, how, you know, he had gone to religion, left religion, came back, and looked into what was not happening. It's fun to chat with him. Hey, coming up on the show, we're going to have a conversation with Judith Powell, and there's a really significant reason for this, because we, of all the interviews I did last year, and we're going to start highlighting some of them, she was one of the more interesting ones when it comes to sex trafficking. And I wrote about her, and I wrote about sex trafficking, and I wrote about this show, and what I didn't know growing up in a really powerful book that just came out a couple of weeks ago, and I'm very proud to be a part of this and to have the show, actually. What Nathan and I have done with interviews this year, some of the incredible people that have overcome some really hard, hard things in their life, and some of them were sexual traumas of being beaten and abused and raped, and men and women. And so this book is called Voices Against Trafficking, The Strength of Many Voices Speak as One. And it's gone to everyone in Congress. It's in the Library of Congress. And I can't tell you again how honored I was to be a part of it and to have this show to be able to highlight some of the people we talked to. And Judith is one of them, so she's coming up next. She's somebody we talked to this year. In the book, I say in my chapter, Bubbles Need to Burst to Stop Human Trafficking. Growing up in a suburb outside of Philadelphia, human trafficking was something I thought happened in other places. I was in a bubble where that was never talked about, even though it was happening around us. Years later, that would all change as I interviewed too many women and men who fell prey to some form of trafficking. And I talk about, imagine being 7 years old, playing with a childhood friend whose beloved grandfather wants to see you in another room. Suddenly you're alone and he's molesting you. That happened to Judith Powell, author of the summer of 1957, Secrets Left in the Basement, the man went on to attack another young girl. It wasn't until 40 years later that Judith came across a box of her mother's journals and found out they did go to the police, her family. A weird sense of relief washed over her. She described it to me on the air, and you'll hear that interview next, knowing that they believed her and tried to do something about it. Sadly, I have heard too many stories like Judith's where the victim carries the secret and other baggage around for life as a result. And I saw that in a couple of places. I also talk about the fact that one of my first jobs when I got out of college, I was a television reporter at KTSM in El Paso, Texas. And just a few months after I arrived, I spent a week with the Border Patrol working on a series besides people crossing the Rio Grande to work in housekeeping, construction, or in fields picking various vegetables. There was a serious human trafficking thing happening there, and the largest surprise for me was that most of the victims were young girls forced into prostitution by traffickers who are, ready for this, U.S. citizens. And of course, they're as young as 14. They come from broken, unstable home environments looking for stability or money, and once they're lured in by the traffickers, they're forced into prostitution. And I think this book, again, is so key. So I'm not going to read my whole chapter to you, but it's so key in helping to save young lives and helping to uncover the more nefarious people out there who are taking advantage. And in the book, there's a list of places to reach out, from the National Child Abuse Hotline to Suicide Prevention Lifeline and National Runaway Switchboard and Military Helpline and Alcohol and Drug Helpline and all kinds of places, because it's not just one thing that leads someone down this path or what happens to them as a whole. I like to say it's the mosaic of the picture of what pulled them in to the point where they are. So that's why we're doing this conversation with Judith Powell, because she was definitely one of the people that came on the show that made me start to think about how awful that would be to be that young. And here it is, you know, 1957, and you're just a helpless little girl, and you're suddenly in a spot that you have no, you can't even process that. So that's coming up on the show. By the way, you can get Voices Against Trafficking, The Strength of Many Voices Speaking as One, on Amazon. It's available in Kindle and in a soft cover as well. So stay with us.
Why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
The Omicron variant is less transmissible and less potent than other COVID-19 variants. As mainstream media first reported the Omicron variant of COVID-19 could be more dangerous and contagious, that seems not to be the case. Now that scientists abroad have had a chance to study the variant, reports are it's not as contagious and not as dangerous. Yale University epidemiologist Dr. Harvey Riche on Fox News says a respected French scientist has revealed his findings.
It's a weak variant. Its transmissibility is comparable to the Alpha and Beta variants. It's about a third of what Delta is.
From the West Coast, USA, Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
In related news, Pfizer and BioNTech announced on Wednesday that its three doses of the Pfizer vaccine appear to offer a more robust protection than two doses. The companies are also working on an Omicron-specific dose. You're listening to USA Radio News. The state of Michigan continues to struggle with rising COVID-19 cases, setting a record this week for COVID-19 hospitalizations. It also leads the nation in per capita case rates. According to Johns Hopkins University data, Michigan recently reported its highest 7-day average of new daily cases at 10,014 on December 3rd. The average dipped on Monday to close to 8,600 a day, still more than double where it was at the end of October. With less than 3 years to the next presidential election, 22% of Americans say they'd like to see Joe Biden run as the Democratic nominee. According to a December poll from INITIPP, Vice President Kamala Harris is the second most popular candidate, favored by 12% of respondents. Just 8% of Republicans and independents say they want Biden to run again. And 17 years after being sentenced to die, Scott Peterson has been resentenced to life without parole. You're listening to U.S. Say Radio News.
Ed Fuchs is a registered pharmacist who understands how important the B complex of vitamins is for maintaining a healthy heart. That's why he drinks Pollen Burst from Longevity's complete line of nutritional supplements.
Pollen Burst has got the B vitamins in there, and the B vitamins are so fascinating because most people are going to be deficient in the B vitamins because they're rapidly processed out of food. And the B vitamins work on the brain, the heart, the skin, and the digestive system. When it comes to heart disease, we got 600,000 people in this country who die of heart disease every year. Some 64 million Americans have some form of heart disease. The B vitamins, a nickel's worth of B vitamins every day, is the most powerful nutritional way to protect yourself from heart disease.
To feed your heart the nutrients it needs for good health, order Longevity's Pollen Burst by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470. Or on the web at brightsidebed.com. That's brightsidebed.com.
The summer of 1957, Secrets Left in the Basement. It's a powerful novel for a lot of different reasons. Judith, thank you so much for coming on.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for asking me.
So, first of all, let's talk about why you wrote this novel.
Well, actually, I was 7 years old when I was sexually abused by the grandfather of a playmate of mine, and the grandparents lived in my neighborhood. I'd been in their home, certainly trusted the man. And, of course, he threatened to kill me if I told anybody. And the next day I did tell my mother, but begged her not to tell my father. And the incident was never mentioned again, ever. I never told anyone, never told a husband, a friend, my sibling. So 4 years ago, I'm reading one of my mother's diaries. I've got a big box of them now. Of course, she's deceased. And this happened to me in 1947. But anyway, I read that, of course, immediately she told my father. And my father went to the police right away. They called the man in to question him. He denied it, of course. But then it happened to another girl. So that was really the spark that I thought, I'm going to tell this story. It's mostly fiction. The actual incident, that part is true, but it's not dragged out or brought up. The details aren't just thrown at you during the whole book. So it, I just started writing it, and it really takes place in 1993, 36 years after 1957, because the granddaughter of the molester is a police investigator for the Dayton, Ohio Police Department. And the man, 2 months after this girl was molested, the main character, the man was found dead in his car to a gunshot wound to the head. And it was ruled a suicide, but it couldn't quite be 100% confirmed that it was suicide. So this granddaughter now, she's going through some files, and she just can't understand why her grandfather, that she loved and thought it was the greatest man, would ever commit suicide. And she enlists her former friend, the victim, not knowing, of course, that what her grandfather had done to her, and wants her to try to work together to reopen the case. So it's really... It's a story, it's about the premise being sexual abuse, but that's not the entire story. Basically, it's a mystery, family drama woven around a mysterious death, and the two main characters, the victim and the granddaughter of the molester, they're really, really kind of drawn into this web of secrets that they find out that their parents' families have been kept from them. So it's got a lot of interesting little twists and little changes that are, I think, keep the reader engaged because you're not quite expecting some of the things. So basically, I just thought I'm going to write this story. I like to write. I've written a couple other little things, and I write little short stories. So I just let my imagination get carried away with me and wrote this piece of fiction and based really just on that what happened to me.
Yeah, so they say you write about what you know. And as you said, this is a tale. So some of, you know, the Ohio connection, what happened to you is familiar to you. The character is 8-year-old Penelope Evans. And then, as you said, you describe what happened, and it's really written in rich, rich detail. And as you said, there's other secrets, there's other things. But with your story, and I think it's brilliant that you put this in the book, because you say Penelope reads what her mother wrote. Penelope
right.
does what you did. So for you, was it like a relief to know, hey, they did something? They did something. I had no idea this whole time that this wasn't just a secret. We're not saying anything. They tried to, your parents tried to do something.
Well, absolutely. And that, I mean, it was kind of a shock. I wasn't sure what year it happened. I knew it was in the summer, and I thought maybe I was six, but it was August 10th, 1947, and I was seven, almost eight. And, Kate, if I would have known that man knew all along that I had told, I would have probably never left the house. So of course they didn't tell me.
Yeah.
And of course it wasn't brought up. And you know, when it happened to me in 1947 and even in 1957, parents didn't talk about these things, going to therapy or counseling really wasn't something that people did. I mean, it was sort of a taboo thing if you had to send a child to counseling. Well, now, of course, we know that's often the best thing. So, it really, it was very cathartic when I first started writing it. And I guess the fact that I killed them, man off in the story, which is all fiction, was just sort of part of my relief. You know, I got my
revenge.
my revenge, right, in black and white. So I try to make the story real interesting. There's a little subplot that's kind of, interesting or kind of a little romantic, you might say, subplot. So these two women are really on divergent paths. The granddaughter wanting to open the case, she would never believe such a story. And after Penelope reads her mother's diary, she kind of wonders, well, could he have been murdered and could my father have had anything to do with it? Or the father of the other victim? I try to make it so that the story, the people would be kind of held in wondering
what
really did happen.
Yeah.
I mean,
and where's the story going?
Where's the story? And like I say, there are some definite twists in it, and that I hope keep the reader engaged and wanting to read it. A lot of people read it. It's a novella. It's so it's not a long book. I think 150 pages, and so it reads pretty quickly. It's not a story that is the premise being sexual abuse. But then again, it's not something where that is just played out so much in the book. It's described one time in detail. Those facts do happen to be true because I do remember those, of course. But it's not.
It's not the overwhelming theme of the book. And the book is The Summer of 1957, Secrets Left in the Basement, Judith Powell. You can get it on Amazon. What do you hope people take away from reading your novella?
Well, I was writing it, I wasn't didn't know what I had to accomplish or wanted to accomplish because it was very cathartic for me, and it was very difficult for me to. I wasn't even sure I was going to describe the incident, but then I felt that it was necessary. But since then, I've had so many different people that have women my age or younger. Mostly younger. I would say since I'm 81. but that they have talked about incidents that happened to them that they never talked about, and I dedicated the book to all the young girls whose voices have never been heard, because there's a lot of women and children that these things happen to, and they are never talked about. In fact, I just was watching a little blurb on TV, and Oprah apparently is going to be on NBC tomorrow talking more about experiences in her childhood.
Yeah.
We know about some of them, of course, but she's going to be coming forth a little more with what I don't know.
Right. So I think that's what's powerful, and you're right, and you dedicate it to all the young girls whose voices have never been heard. And you say, to Mimi, your mother, whose dedication to keeping a daily diary inspired this book. I love that. Judith, thank you for joining us.
Well, it's a good, fast read, and I think readers, my target group was definitely adult women, but I am finding men are enjoying it.
I like that. Thank you, Judith. It was great meeting you. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You, too, can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Vladimir Wojciech Luza joins us now. He's written a book called Heiress of Angels, and we had such an interesting conversation off the air. I've spent time in L.A., and he spent a lot of time in L.A. It's a collection of poetry and prose. Rado, thanks so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. I got nothing else to do on this Thursday in a nursing home, so I might as well be with you.
Well, we're happy to have you. Tell us why you wrote the book.
Well, it's a tribute to Los Angeles, nothing more, nothing less, but it also talks a lot about love and metaphysics and philosophy and romance and politics. There's some sports thrown in, and in the middle of the book, there's about 15 to 20 poems that talk about what it's like to be lonely and homeless, which I was when I first got here to Los Angeles, and I think the poems are so heartbreaking and immensely raw and naked that they rip your soul and your gut out, and you want to read it just for those 15 or 20 poems. And the fact it's a tribute to Los Angeles. It's, you know, it's a great town. It's a beautiful city, but if you're not careful, it can really, really hurt you as well. There's ups and there's downs like any place else, but you have to be careful to kind of find the middle ground, the balance, to kind of find your own chi, so to speak, your own karma, and not go too far into any extreme.
Yeah, and so what brought you to Los Angeles those many years ago, and what happened that you had to pull yourself up from a situation that you were in where you found yourself homeless?
Well, I came to Los Angeles in 2006, which is 15 years ago, exactly 15 years, mainly to pursue the acting in the industry, because I'm a SAG-AFTRA, Actors Equity, a union actor, and I was in the New York area living in Jersey City, but had an awful divorce with my ex-wife, and her name is Monica, but anyway, I won't give out her last name, and, I was heartbroken, and I was lonely, and I was living here, and, I just ran out of money. I only brought a certain amount of money out here, and I ran out of it because I was staying in motels and hotels and having to pay for food. And so I ended up living in Skid Row at the shelters there, and that was quite bad. But the people there, especially the African-American people, they got me through it. They always say, white boy, you're going to make it. White boy, you're going to get through. And I believed them, and I did get through, and my dad helped me out. And it was really an unwelcome situation, but it was also welcome because I got to see the underbelly, so to speak, of Los Angeles. And that's a lot of what I write about, is the underbelly of Los Angeles. It's a tribute to Los Angeles, but in a sort of a way that I write about the underbelly and the shortcomings of the city, as well as the positive points and the triumphs of the town.
Yeah, you write about Hollywood. You talk about, like, as you said, LAX. One of your poems, LAX Baggage Claim.
Boy, yeah, it's one of my favorites. Yeah,
yeah. I've had experiences there, so I laughed out loud thinking that how many times I went through LAX. And it's interesting. You talk about Santa Monica. You talk about you know, music, and you talk about Red Velvet. It's interesting too, because we talked off the air and you mentioned comedy, and you mentioned, you know, what it was like to race to a comedy club. So you certainly had some high moments too, where you had some successes. Tell us about that.
Yeah, there is some successes. I did a lot of, not a lot, but a few gigs or sets over at the Comedy Store. But I can't say I'm very fond of the club. They seem very interested more in making money than in talent. But anyway, that was a success, and I've published now about 13 or 14 books here of poetry. That's been really good. I've had a chance to do that. I've got two books coming out, in the next, this year. Onyx Rose is a collection of poetry and prose published by Christian Faith Publishing in Meansville, Pennsylvania. That's coming out this year. And Copper Carnation, a collection of poetry published by Author House. That's coming out this year. They're in Bloomington, Indiana. I also started with a friend of mine, Marianita Mann. I started a poetry reading about 10 years ago called Unbuckled NoHo, in other words, North Hollywood poetry. And that's been a real success. We've had a lot of really talented LA and other people come through there, feature and do the open mic, and it's been a real success. And really talented and gifted and interesting and just interested people in poetry and in the verse and in the written word and the spoken word come through there and make a name for themselves and just make us fall to the ground like a leaf listening to their words.
And so with all the things that you've written and now the success of the poetry that you started in North Hollywood, the fact that you give people the opportunity there, what do you hope people take away from reading Eros of Angels, a collection of poetry and prose?
That they're touched and moved by it to make a better life for themselves and to become, I don't want to say better people, but more rounded people, more balanced people, people that are more in touch with themselves and society and civilization and God, and who put a hand out to other people, who help other people in need, who love other people, who understand what the meaning of love is, that to me love is God and God is love, that they'll read the book and they'll fly to L.A. and they won't look at it as a superficial, materialistic town, but someplace where they can find themselves and someplace where they can learn to find their core and their middle and their soul and their heart and their very being and never ever look back.
I like that thought. So in the end, you know, we started with you moving to L.A. and what that was like and people helping you. Was it worth it for you to move to L.A.?
Yeah, because I've been in so much trouble just to stay here that I think God must have it in his crossword puzzle for me to stay here and for me to live here, because it took so much effort out of me just to stay here that those first few weeks, that I think there must be some reason that it took that kind of effort and struggle and challenge, and that is that I think I'm supposed to be here, and that I'm supposed to be living here, that I'm supposed to be giving here, I'm supposed to be sharing here, I'm supposed to be looking around for my next result and challenge and creative effort.
Yeah, I like that. Eros of Angels, a collection of poetry and prose. Radomir Wojciech Luza, thank you so much for joining us. You can get the book on Amazon.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kate. You're a delight, and I hope your audience got something out of this, besides being woken up early on a Thursday morning. And I really want to thank you very much for this. God bless you, and I hope we get to meet sometime and we get to chat. And thank you very much. You're very delightful and very nice lady.
Thank you, Rado. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
All right, how interesting talking to Rado. He's got his finger on the pulse, I think, of really what it's like to move to L.A., that whole idea of the dreams of getting there from other parts of the country and the draws. He was talking about what people don't know about L.A., but the draw of the entertainment business and how tough it really is to make it. And a lot of his poetry focuses on that, and he talked about leaving the East Coast, and he's got a poem called I Left My Heart in New York City, and I'm Not Sure I'll Get It Back. And that's something to read, that and Hollywood Holla and Hollywood in general. And he really, again, nails what it's like to make that kind of a move and then to be there and feel what it's like to live in a city like Los Angeles. And it's a great read. And if you are a fan of poetry, he absolutely, absolutely has the gift. So once again, you can get his book, Eros of Angels, a collection of poetry and prose. You can get that on Amazon.com. Thanks for listening to this interview, and thanks for listening to the show. Make it count, everybody.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudiarco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.